This is KUT.
Austin.
Stop. When we talk about housing and land use in Austin, there are a lot of buzzwords that get thrown around. Things like neighborhood character and density that tend to divide people along ideological lines. So what do people mean when they use these words, and why do they elicit such strong reactions? KUT's Saida Hassan has more on the public discussion around Code Next.
It was a sunny Saturday morning this past October, the day of the annual Texas OU football game. At the city's Asian American Resource Center, about 50 people gathered for something a little less action-packed, a meeting of Austin's Zoning and Platting Commission.
So let us start our special called meeting.
The Zoning Commission deals with issues of land use. On this particular Saturday, the commission was hosting a, quote, listening session. It was a chance for residents to share their input on Code Next.
Code Next is a train wreck. For years, I went to advisory meetings.
There was a lot of that. If you're not up on municipal politics, Code Next is an overhaul of the city's land development code. More than 1,000 pages of technical language that, if approved, would govern what can be built in the city and where it can go. A lot of people see this process as a chance to shape Austin's future. About 20 minutes into that October Zap meeting, Mary Engel stepped up to the mic. She's a former president of the Austin Neighborhoods Council, a coalition of some of the city's oldest community groups. Engel had a lot to say about Code Next.
This process has been a cram down from the day one.
She said Code Next was too long and complicated, that it doesn't respect neighborhood plans, among other things. And then she brought up a specific case, a building proposed near her central Austin neighborhood.
And there was a case at the Board of Adjustments where somebody tried to cram a 17,000-square-foot building on a 6,000-square-foot lot. This is not Calcutta.
I couldn't help but wonder, what did she mean by that? Before we go any further, we should note that Calcutta no longer exists. The city changed its name back to its original Kolkata in 2001 in a rejection of the whitewashing effects of British imperialism. Anyway, I called Engel to talk Code Next and try and get clarity on her comments.
Hello?
Hi, is this Mary?
Yes.
It's Saida at KUT.
Yes, hello.
Engel shared her concerns about the new code. She said it isn't compatible with her neighborhood. Then we got back to that October meeting. You brought up at the Zap meeting a case that was before the Board of Adjustments. And in referencing that case, the way that you characterized it was you said that this is not Calcutta. What did you mean by that comment?
I'm not going to speak about that.
Engel said she had fought against that development, and she refused to talk about it any further. I told her I wasn't so much interested in that case as I was her comparison of Austin to Calcutta.
There was no comparison from Austin to Calcutta.
So you were, but you said that.
Look, I'm not speaking about this, okay, because it's irrelevant to Code Next. I've been to Calcutta. I know what it looks like there. I know how much pollution they have to deal with. I know how packed in and overpopulated it is and how much poverty there is.
That's about as far as we got. Engel told me to research the case she was referencing, and then I'd understand why she brought up Calcutta. I looked into that case, but before we get to what I found, I wanted to get back to the choice of Calcutta and how that word registered with other people who were in the room.
I mean, it stood out to you for a reason. It's because it's highly, highly offensive.
That's Stephanie Trin. Until recently, she served on the Zoning and Platting Commission, and she was at that October meeting. Trin says it's puzzling and problematic that Engel would compare Austin to a city of brown people. She notes that many other places, like Manhattan, also have a higher population density.
You know, maybe that she's visioning a city that is incredibly dense and lower income and kind of looks like a slum is perhaps what she's talking about. I think that there's definitely racial overtones in that statement.
Trin says she can't presume to know the intent behind Engel's words.
But I found it to be incredibly insensitive and kind of a fear-mongering statement to a very white room.
The thing is, whenever people talk about Code Next, there's a lot of hyperbole that gets thrown around. To talk more about this, I met with Elizabeth Mueller. She's an associate professor of community and regional planning at UT.
a lot of my work revolves around the tension between the goals of city planning and the goals of social equity in cities.
We talked about how people tend to use coded language, words that can serve as a sort of shorthand for their broader political views. Mueller and I went over a couple of the common buzzwords used at zoning meetings. A big one is density. Taken literally, it refers to the number of housing units in a given area. But
some people are afraid of density because they don't want to see the character of their neighborhood change. And for them, density might mean adding a secondary unit behind your house. For other people, density might mean adding a large multifamily building.
And then there's neighborhood character. Of course, this phrase takes on different meanings depending on where you live and what you value about that place.
People who are concerned about change in the character of their neighborhood are concerned right now about their own ability to stay in their neighborhood, and they fear that changing the amount of development allowed in their neighborhood is going to increase the pressure, or they just may be afraid of, they just don't want a different character of their neighborhood as well.
Mueller says it's important to put these discussions in context. Austin has a history of racial segregation when it comes to land use. The city's 1928 master plan notoriously divided residents along racial lines, relegating Black and Brown people to the area east of I-35. Today, the city remains one of the most economically segregated in the nation.
I mean, we do have a problematic history here of using zoning and planning in exclusionary ways, and it's part of what's produced the underlying pattern that we're overlaying all these things on. And sometimes the way we're talking about these things are not really acknowledging that.
She says when people rely on buzzwords, it makes it hard to get to the core of land use issues. And the tense political divisions around these concepts can make public meetings an intimidating space.
There's a small group of people who are really engaged and have spent a lot of time learning about this who are able to speak the same language as the planners. But I think there's a lot of people who are hearing about this for the first time or are newcomers to it, and it's very difficult to engage in the discussion.
Still, she says, this kind of coded language can be a way to express anxiety around Code Next. Which brings us back to Mary Ingle. I worked to track down the case she mentioned at that zoning meeting, the one that prompted her to say, this is not Calcutta. And I found one that came before the city's Board of Adjustment in 2016. It's centered on a new student housing co-op proposed for West Campus. The project matched the square footage Ingle had detailed. The developer asked the board to reduce the number of required parking spaces. Ingle spoke against his request.
Please do not grant this variance. Every car that comes to West Campus that can't be parked ends up in our neighborhoods, and I know that you all live in.
She spoke for about 5 minutes about parking and traffic. She made no mention of Calcutta. I called Ingle back to tell her what I'd found, and she maintained that I had the wrong case. She wouldn't tell me what the right one was. But I wanted to give Ingle a chance to respond to what people were saying, that her comparison of Austin to Calcutta was racially insensitive. There's obviously plenty of cities in the world that have a higher population density.
I could have said, this is not Manhattan, whatever. I made that reference because what came to mind was an over-densification. I have been to Calcutta. I used to teach squash at UT with all the Indian students. I love Indian people. Why would I make a racial statement?
I asked Ingle whether it's possible that people could have been offended by her choice of words without that being her intention. She said after that meeting, an Indian man approached her and said, I heard your remarks. You're right. Saida Hassan, KUT News.